For some experiences in life, there are no words. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. For some experiences in life, there just are no words. And you know, that's very true. I was talking to a woman who was telling me about her friend's aunt, who was quite wealthy, and that the friend's aunt was going to die and leave her many millions of dollars to the relatives and nephews and stuff. He was a nephew. And he said, but it's going to be done this way. It's going to be done that way. It's going to be done poorly. And Ellen says, see that it's all done in divine order. Ah, yes, so perfect, perfect. You know, nothing to be concerned about. And Ellen says, okay, now, when you pick up your check, you give us 10%. Because we've advised you. We have trained you into the proper mental attitude so that you will not only get your portion, but your portion will be far greater than you ever dreamed, because my aim in life is to be better than anything I ever dreamed for myself. That was our thought for today, this morning. So when he starts dreaming that, what difference does it make? It's all his. It's all his. She turns on and she says, you know, you're my nephew, and you're the only nephew who cared enough about me to make sure that I enjoyed life while I was living it, you know. And you always were sending me your prayers and your vibrations and your harmony. Well, what kind of words do you have for something like that? Now, I've been treating many different things, and one of the things is people are spiritually healed. Now, I am exceedingly successful. I'm exceedingly successful in treating for people who are spiritually healed. However, neither the people who are healed nor anyone in their world know they were ever sick, and they have no idea that they'd been sick, so I don't get any credit. I don't get any credit for doing this, and it doesn't matter. But you see, when you speak your word for a blessing, you don't need a credit. You don't need... You merely see the confirmation of how your word is being spoken, and that's beautiful. Now, how do you speak your word? For what do you speak your word? Are there some things in life that there are just no words that can encompass them? Mm-hmm. When you look at a little child who is doing something absolutely wonderful, and you look there and your smile is bigger than your face, and you're looking down at this kid and you think, my God, isn't that beautiful? There are no words to describe how beautiful that is, and how lovely that is, and what a joy is in that child's body and mind and face, you know. You think to yourself, wow, how spectacular. There's no words to describe something like that. Or if somebody, now here's one. If somebody dies to your attention, and you are told that they have passed on, but actually what they did was to take a trip to China. And in their trip to China, they didn't have communication out, and so they didn't communicate. And they never were good communicators anyhow. They just did their own thing. And so then all of a sudden, 20 years later, up comes Joe from China. And Joe says, well, hi there, Sue. Joe, is that you, Joe? I thought you were dead. Joe, oh, you know, no words can explain the joy in her heart at finding that he's not dead. Not that it made any difference, but it was the concept of not being dead, of being dead and then not being dead. See, that's a concept. It doesn't matter who's involved in it. It really doesn't. Because once a person's dead, you say, okay, they're dead. Leave them alone. Don't think about them anymore. And as long as the person's alive, then you give them a thought or two now and then. But the concept of having a person who is dead now be alive leaves you wordless. It leaves you without any way of expressing yourself. And all you can say is, oh, wow, how wonderful. And even wonderful is like a nothing word. You know? It does not even begin to mean what is in your heart. And as I was watching Mark flying his ultralight using his new engine, he put his new engine on it, and he needed a pump to pump oil into the engine, and he didn't have a pump. So he had a pump, but he had no way of making it go. So he took his electric drill, you know, his battery-operated drill, and stuck it into the pump and let it operate the pump while he was flying. He couldn't fly for very long, you know, but he flew, and it worked perfect. It fed the oil into the engine until he could get the other gadget going for it. Well, here I saw the video of him taking off. And he is just having a ball. He's going up, and he's coming back, and he's going up. He's not really going anyplace because he's just maybe about 10, 15 feet off the ground because he's not ready to go further. But since then, he has gone further. Now, he has a beautiful plane. And I look at him, and I say, wow, you know, no words to describe the joy when you see your own son creating, designing, and developing airplanes and flying them. And, I mean, that's him. And then I think to myself, what an honor to be his father, you know? What an honor to have someone so outstanding in your life, really. And there's no words to describe it. All you can say is, that's my son, which words are enough. But you can say, that's my son about your boy under many different circumstances, and it doesn't mean the same thing. It's only what the feeling is you put behind it, what the attitude is you put behind it that makes all the difference in the world. And as I looked at the things that he does, and as I watched him working with his people, and as I saw him going from his drawing board, working on very intense details and very high-level stuff, then out into the shop. And there he had this atomic physicist, really amazing guy, Raoul. And Raoul was working on the gas feeding operation of his engine. It doesn't work on a normal carburetor. There are 8 cylinders to the engine, and there are 8 little brass tubes that are so infinitesimal, and the fuel is forced through those brass tubes equally to every one of the cylinders, so that each cylinder will burn exactly the right amount of gas and get exactly the right amount of oxygen to burn pollution free. Now, Mark had this in his design. He created this idea, and then this guy came along out of nowhere, met him at the INTA at the air show in Oshkosh, you know, and had a great time, and immediately the guy fell in love with Mark. He said, this is a brilliant boy. This is a brilliant genius. I want to be part of his program, you know, because he had many programs of his own, but nothing was that exciting. So he kept his apartment in Chicago, kept his apartment in Brazil, kept his apartment wherever he is, and he can handle it, you know. But so now he's working on these things, and he's using such primitive gadgets to work on him. I think to myself, for $50 I could spend and get, you know, nice new stuff. But no, they're trying out all these things. They're trying out from the various materials that they have to see what's going to work. And as I look at Mark, and I look at him discussing with this fellow, this high-level technical understanding of the carburetor, of the input of the gasoline, I am just without words. I am just without words. But then I come to even a more not wordless condition, but they ask me questions, and I know the answers. And I think to myself, wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. And no matter what questions they asked me, no matter what we were discussing, I knew the answers. And I felt so proud. But it was fun. But you see, I created Mark in my world. I created his friends in my world. I created what he's doing in my world. I created an absolute lack of interest in everything he's doing as far as me doing it, you know. As far as him doing it, wonderful. But I didn't create an absolute lack of intelligence, information. I didn't create a lack of information. I knew what they were doing, and I knew how they were doing it. And I did not offer any suggestions because the suggestions I was about to offer were so obvious, it was better for them to find it out for themselves than to have me say it. Because if I say it, then it won't be something that they have come to the conclusion themselves. And they're doing just wonderful. Just wonderful. But you see, these are things that are absolutely speechless. Your words leave you without any kind of adequate phraseology to say what you want to say. You just flow with them. You just flow with it and just go with it. And you just be wonderful. I was talking to my former wife, Faith, and as I sat in her living room for about 3 or 4 hours talking with her, I was just amazed. I was amazed at all the things that she had said. I was amazed at her creative imagination, her great wonderment in many areas. And I sat there, and at one point she turns to me and she says, "Herb, how can you sit there totally knowing what I'm saying and being untouched by it?" And I said, "Well, because I know the truth. And I know that you're aiming at the truth too, and that you'll get it. You'll get it. But right at the moment, you're a little in left field, and that's okay too." Because Mark was in left field in some of his presumptions for his airplane, and other people, Einstein was in left field many times, and so was Edison and many other great, wonderful, beautiful people, you know. But you'll get it. And you see, the wonderment of it all is when we can keep our mouth shut, when we can allow someone else to talk about the things that are important to them, get them off their chest, as well as get them into production, like Mark does, you know, how wonderful that is. And the less I say that's going to motivate them to do something, the more they'll do it themselves, and they will always do it. If Jesus were to heal everyone, no one would need to heal themselves. And Jesus did not. He said that specifically. If we are to go around healing everyone, they'll never learn how to do it for themselves. And there are so many billions of people in the world who can learn how to do it for themselves. And this is what we share. This is what we open our hearts to and open the doors for everyone, wherever they may be. But people sometimes listen to me as I am listening to someone else, and they're thinking to themselves, "Boy, is he a cold fish, or is he an uninterested person?" And they don't even understand one little tiny bit how much I really am interested, but I'm interested in them finding themselves, because I know where I am, and I'm not looking for myself, but they're looking for themselves. And if I get in there and start mugging around in their dirty water, it'll just get dirtier. But if I stay out and just let them come to the surface and then let everything settle, it'll all be very wonderful. And this is a hard thing to do. That's called keeping your nose out of other people's business. It's a very hard thing to do because I'm very interested in what Mark is doing. I'm very interested in what Faith is doing. I'm very interested in what you guys are doing, you know. But for me to keep my nose out of your business, for me to not be telling you every 2 seconds how to turn, that's a very difficult thing, not for me, but for you, because you expect me to do it. And the sooner you do it for yourself, the stronger and the happier you'll be. And if you ever had a spiritual healing, and there's nothing wrong with having a spiritual healing. If you ever have a spiritual healing, you won't even know it. You won't even appreciate it. You'll just go on. And are you supposed to appreciate it?
No. It's not
okay,
true.
Then don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just say, "Okay, Herb, I'm ready."
I'm ready, Herb.
Well, I tell you, all of you have had more spiritual healings than you can shake a stick at. But because you have attitudes, that keeps you from appreciating them. And the attitude is that you think you did it yourself, instead of saying, "The divine in me did it." When you say, "The divine in you did it," you got everything going for you. when you say you did it as your own physical, limited, aware self, then you're going to be physically limited and aware in that direction. So let go, let God, let yourself be fantastic. And the past will not help you in the present. The past will only limit you, because you'll always say, well, it didn't work. How many people have you met who said, well, it didn't work. I tried that. It didn't work. And I got a kick out of our Mark's young friend, who is about 80 years old. He says, well, I've been studying this now for a long time, but it didn't work. I've been studying for a long time, but it didn't work. Then all of a sudden, now it's working. And what has he done? He's got his bloated nothingness out of the way. He's got his preconceived concept of how it should be out of the way. And this is true for all of us. Mm-hmm. When we get our preconceived notion. Now, he says, oh, this Course of Miracles, it's super, it's wonderful, it's fun. And it is, it's good. But it is absolutely worthless if you don't apply it. Mm-hmm. As everything is absolutely worthless unless you apply it. Mm-hmm. And there are no words. There are no words to describe it. When you have the spiritual illumination that comes within you, you just feel fantastic. And that's what you should feel. So with that, just remember, for some experiences in life, there are no words. And I would say, for every experience that we have, those of you who are studying the Master Path, for every experience that you have, there are no words to describe it. Our dear friend Sasu went back to Ghana in South America, in Africa, maybe South America too. He went back in Africa, and when he got back there, he said, wow, I'm a member of your family. And we said, very true, very true. And you see, how could we have ever guessed that saying, Sam, you're in our family now. How could we have ever guessed that simple words like that would have meant something so significant to him, who already is a very outstanding man in every way? But how could we know? But that's because there's a greater humility in him than we've given him credit for.
Yes.
Yes. And in ourselves also. So remember, for some experiences in life, there are no words. And remember, I love you. I love you. Mm-hmm. I love you. I love you.